We are picking up six lines from the bottom is where we left off last night. The Gemara was talking about there were six things that it was saying that it was bad for a Talmid Chacham to be displaying these actions or these midos, and the Gemara is going through each one of them. So we left off with the next one that we were talking about is by Yisapir im Isha Bashuk, that a Talmid Chacham should not speak with a woman in the street. Amar Rav Chizd, what? Six lines from the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right in the middle of the line. Got it? Okay, so the Gemara says, "Vaisapri imisha b'shuk, a Talmid Chacham should not speak with a woman in the marketplace." Amar Rav Chizda, afilu ishto, even if it's his wife. And Rashi says the reason why is because not everyone's going to know that it's his wife, and they're going to suspect him of consorting with a zona, with a prostitute. Do not tell your wife that is what people view her as if you're talking with her. But that is, so he should not be speaking with a woman in the marketplace, even if it's his wife. And the Gemara says, "Tanan amihachi." We also learned in a brisa. Afilu ishto, even if it's his wife. Afilu ibito, even if it's his daughter. Afilu achos, even if it's his sister. Which again, there's nothing wrong if he's talking to any of these people. But if he's in public and he's speaking to them, he shouldn't be doing that publicly. Why? Because not everyone knows who his relatives are, and they're going to suspect that he's up to some wrong, sort of wrongdoing. So therefore, he should not be speaking to, again, it all depends where he lives and what the situation is. So I'm not going to say that a Talmid Chacham should not be speaking to any woman in the marketplace now, like if we're out in public nowadays and people know that Rabbanim or Talmid Chacham are speaking to people, are coming over to them to say hello or whatever it is, that's another story. The next thing that the Gemara said was that a Talmid Chacham shouldn't do, while Yaseh b'chabura shalame arts, a Talmid Chacham should not sit in a group with amaratzim, with people who are not learned. My time was the reason. Dilma asi lemshuche b'travaya, because we're afraid that he's might going to start following in their ways. That if they're amaratzim, if they're people who are not learned and they're doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, we're afraid that they're going to have a negative influence on him, and therefore he shouldn't do it. And again, nowadays I think they say that a Talmid Chacham should be sitting with amaratzim because he can have a positive influence on them when he's interacting with them. So that's so nowadays that's really not going to be as applicable. The next thing we said, while Yikanes Achrona LeBeis HaMedrash, the Talmid Chacham should not come. He should not be the last one to enter the Beis Medrash. Mishum Dekaru LePoshea, because they're going to call him a poshea, that he's negligent, because it's a sign of laziness if he's the last one that's coming into the Beis Medrash in the morning. V'yesharim Aflo Yafsiya Psiya Gasa, that a Talmid Chacham also should not take large steps when he's walking. Damar Mar Psiya Gasa No Telas Echam Echamishmeos Mimar Einav Shalodim, that someone who's taking long steps, he's taking away 1/500th of his eyesight, so it's not good for him to be walking that way. Maitakanti, what should a person do if he did take these large steps and he feels that his eyesight is going away? Gemara says, Lahadre Bikdusha Debesh Meshe, he could fix the problem by making kiddush Friday night, drinking the wine, Friday night kiddush. He could drink the wine Friday night, and that's also going to restore it. Again, this is more esoteric. I'm not sure what it means. But again, make kiddush Friday night and drink wine. And the last gemara that we said before we finished the parak, while yahalach becomes a kufa, a person should not walk upright. He should not walk like in a haughty manner. What does that mean? Damar mar hamahalech b'makom hazakufa afilu arba amos. If someone's walking like with in a very arrogant manner, with the way that he's projecting himself, kilo dochek ragli yishkin. It's like he's pushing away the feet of Hashem kaviyachol. Why? D'chsiv meloch al aretz kavodo, that we said in the pasuk that the world, that the whole land is filled with Hashem's glory. And if a person's taking large steps, it's like he's pushing them out of the way. So a person shouldn't be doing that. It's not the proper way that he should be watching, that he should be walking. Okay, we are now turning to Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. We are starting the next Mishnah. This is the Mishnah is going to be talking now about the concept of if a person has two food groups in front of him, and one is the main food group that he wants to be eating, and the other one is the secondary one. It's called Tuffel and Iker. So he wants to make. So you only have to make a bracha on the main food group, and that's generally it's going to exempt you from having to make a bracha on the secondary one. So the Mishnah starts off, interestingly enough, it's talking about where Hevil fun of Miliach Tchila, they brought the salted, he was eating salted food, and they brought salted food to him first. And again, it's important that we say that he brought the salted food in this case is the Iker, the main dish that we're talking about. So they brought before him salted food first, Upas Imo, and then they brought bread with him. So you're going to make a bracha on the salted food, and with that you're going to exempt the bread, which is a big chiddush, because normally you think of bread as being the main food that we're eating. So this is, and the Gemara is going to talk about what the situation is where you were eating bread with a salted dish, and the bread's only like the secondary food. So the Mishnah is telling you that if you bring this salted food first, which is the main dish, you would make a bracha on the salted dish, and then you would not have to make a bracha on the bread. And the Mefarshim say the reason why it says that if you made the salt first, because let's say the situation was reversed. Let's say the salted dish was the main dish. Okay, and they also brought bread with you, and you ate the secondary dish first. If you ate the bread first, you would have to make a bracha on the secondary dish, even though normally we say that the main dish exempts you from eating the secondary dish. If you're eating the secondary dish first, then we say that you have to make a separate bracha on it. So that's why the Mishnah stresses and says that they brought the salted dish out to him first. And the reason why you don't make a, so again, so going back, you make a bracha on the salted dish, you don't, and not on the bread. Shapas tefillo, because the situation that the Gemara is going to talk about, the bread was just secondary to the salted dish. Zeh klal, this is the rule. Kol shehu ikar v'imo tefillo, if you have something which you have a primary source of food, and then you have a secondary food that's the English says subordinate, but it means it's a secondary. It's not the main dish that you're eating. Make a bracha on the main dish, and then you do not have to make a bracha on the secondary dish that you're eating. Okay, so the Gemara says, so again, you were looking and saying, what's this situation that we have that bread's not a main dish? Can you have a situation where a salted dish is going to be the main dish? And again, salted dish, think, let's say like sardines or you know, something like that. And that the bread is just going to be secondary? How could you have that situation? Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Brei D'Rav Avira Amar Rav Ashi. But Ochle Peros Genosar Shon. We're talking about that he ate these fruits of Genosar, which Rashi says came from the Kinneret. So he ate these fruits of Genosar, which were apparently delicious. Like, and the Gemara is going to show how delicious these fruits were. But you ate this fruit, which was very, very sweet. So in order to balance the sweetness of the fruits that you're eating, they would eat a salty dish afterwards to kind of like to get the sweetness out. And then the bread was there just because they wanted to get the bread, was supposed to like get rid of the salty taste that you had in the mouth. So really the bread that you're eating was completely there, not because you wanted to eat bread. You just wanted to get rid of the salty taste that was in your mouth, which you were eating after you had eaten these delicious fruits, these Genosar fruits. So Gemara says, and the Gemara is going to talk now about how special these fruits were. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, ki avazlina basri d'Rabbi Yochanan, l'meichol peres genoser. When we were walking behind Rabbi Yochanan to eat these genoser fruits, and the Gemara speaks very often about Rabbi Yochanan. In one place, the Gemara talks about how handsome he was, that he would stand by the mikvah when the women were coming out from the mikvah, saying that that if a woman looks at a very handsome man, that the children would be beautiful. The Gemara talks about how Rabbi Yochanan was a very heavy man. So the Gemara brings down Rabbi Yochanan very often in talking stories about him. So the Gemara says now that when we would follow Rabbi Yochanan, who was eating these Genosar fruits, ki avinam be mea, when we had 100 people that were walking behind Rabbi Yochanan, mantinan le lechol chav rechad asara asara. So each one of us would carry 10 fruits in a basket. Ki avinam be asara, when we had 10 people that were walking, mantinan le kol chav rechad mea mea, we'd each carry 100 fruits. So meaning, he always had 1,000 of these Genosar fruits that he would be eating. And it's possible that the Gemara is talking about a bit of an exaggeration over here. The Gemara does that sometimes to make a point that it's really talking about, he may have eaten less than that. But the point is that he would eat a lot of these Genosar fruits because they were so delicious. And each of these fruits were so large that they had to hold them in a basket that was 3 sa'a big. So Rabbi Yochanan would eat these fruits, all these fruits, again, 1,000 fruits, whatever it was, and he would swear that he was still hungry. So Gemara asks, would he say that he hadn't eaten any food yet? That what does that mean? He just ate 1,000 of these Genosar fruits. How could he say that he hadn't eaten anything? It meant that he still was hungry. That he would swear that even though I've eaten all of these 1,000 Genosar, it's kind of like Chinese food. You know, like when you eat Chinese food, you know, you're stuffed when you eat it. And then 20 minutes later, you know, you can go eat something else again. So these Genosar fruits, he would eat them. And they were so delicious that when he was finished eating them, he says, I could eat even more of them. They're just really, really good. And, okay, so Gemara talks more about these fruits. Rabavo achol adahava sarikle dudva mea posei. Rabavo would eat these gnosa fruits until a fly, which can stick on anything, would actually slip off of his forehead, because the sweetness from the fruits would be excreted from his forehead and was so slick that the flies would not be able to stick onto his forehead. Ravami Ravasi havi achli adenosr mezaihu. The Ravami and Ravasi would eat them until their hair would fall out. Rav Shimon ben Lakish achol ademarid. Rav Shimon Lakish would eat until he would become like, it's not a sugar high, but he would become like almost delirious, that he wasn't able to think in his right mind. The Amar lehu Rav Yochanan Rav Nesia, and Rav Yochanan, because Rav Shimon Lakish was in this state, he would say to he would tell the people that were there, and they would make sure they would send a group of people home with him, almost like a designated driver. They would send someone home with him to make sure that he got home safely, and then they would make sure that he got that he would be brought back to his house. So you see that these gnoser fruits are the situation that we're talking about, where someone ate a salty dish afterwards because they were so excessively sweet, and then the bread is just a tuffel. The bread is just a secondary dish that he was eating, really just to kind of get rid of the salty taste that was in his mouth. Now the Gemara is going to talk a little bit more about the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, Ir Achas Haisalo Yanai HaMelech Bahar HaMelech, that Yanai had a city in Har HaMelech. They would take out from there 600,000 bowls of fish, to feed them to the people who were picking figs from the fields. May Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, one Friday to the next. So again, this has got to be a sense of exaggeration that's coming in. But the amount of fruits that they had to bring, the 600,000 bowls of fish, was to feed the workers who the figs that they were collecting were even more vast. I was just telling you how rich and vast the amount of fruit was that there was in Eretz Yisrael at that time. Yanai had a tree that was in Har HaMelech. They would take 40 saw of pigeons. Again, it's a large group of pigeons. Mishalosh brechos b'chodesh. That they would take them three different times. They would be able to collect groups of these pigeons, because there were so many, they were so popular, that the population was so great, that three times in 1 month they were able to collect them. So again, talking about just how vast and how plentiful things were in Eretz Yisrael. Kiyasa Rav Yitzchak Amar, Ir Achas Haisav Eretz Yisrael, there was a city in Eretz Yisrael, Gufnis Shimon, his name was Gufnis, Shehayu Bashmonim Zugos Achim Kohanim, that there were 80 pairs of brothers who were Kohanim, Nisuim L'shmonim Zugos Achayos Kohanos, and they married 80 pairs of sisters who were Kohana, who were also from the Abbas Kohen, that they were daughters of a Kohen. And why they do that? They did that because they wanted to keep the Kohen lineage as pure as possible. So 80 brothers married 80 sisters, again, Kohen to Kohen family, so that they could keep the lineage as pure as possible. So the Rabbanan in Bavel wanted to check and see if something like this had happened also in Chutz La'aretz, and they didn't find a similar situation where brothers of a Kohen married Bas Kohen, except for Bar Mibonse de Rav Chizda, the daughters of Rav Chizda, Tavu Nesivan, L'Rami Bar Chama, Ulamar Ukva Bar Chama, that they married the brothers of Rami Bar Chama and Mar Ukva Bar Chama. And even though that's not completely the same, because the sisters were Kohanim, but the brothers were not Kohanim. So I guess the situation of brothers marrying sisters was very, very unique. The situation where you had 80 pair that were, where you had 80 sets of brothers that were marrying 80 sets of sisters, was a very rare and unique experience that they had, because they only found one other situation like that was going on in Bavel. And again, one of the reasons why they say that, I'm not talking about halacha psak, because I have relatives that have brothers that married sisters, but not in the same family, but sets of brothers had married sets of sisters. It said one of the reasons why is because they say that they're afraid in case of Yibum, that if Yibum is a concept that if a man dies and he doesn't have any children when he dies, so there's a mitzvah for the brother of the deceased to marry his brother's wife and to try to have children, and that way they would be able to continue his name. So we're afraid. But if you have two brothers marrying two sisters, you can't do that because you can't marry a sister-in-law. The brother and sister and sister can't marry each other. So that's one reason that they say that possibly that they wouldn't do it so often. Amarav kol suda she'ein ba melach ein suda. Any meal that you don't have salt is not considered to be a meal. And the Gemara finishes right before we get to the Mishnah. Amarav chia barava. Amarav yochanan kol suda she'ein ba sarif ein suda. That any meal that you don't have soup is not considered to be a meal. Okay, we're going to start the next Mishnah. This Mishnah is going to talk about the bracha achrona that we make, which would be, you know, for Allah Eitz, or if we're going to be benching, and it's going to lead into the next parak, which is going to talk about benching. So the Mishnah says, "Achal anavim uteinim rimon." If someone eats grapes, figs, or pomegranates, the varach achareim shalosh brachos, you have to bench after them. So again, we had this a couple of blot ago, where we said that Rabbi Gamliel holds that if someone eats from the shivas aminim, he has to bench afterwards. Okay, which is a very unique. That's a very unique chiddush. That's not something that we hold like. But he holds that if you are eating from grapes for one of the shivas aminim, you have to bench afterwards. Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. The chachamim omrim bracha achas min shalosh, you make an ala michya or an ala eitz, and the Gemara is going to actually go through the bracha, which we may or may not get to tonight. Rabbi Akiva omrim afilu achal shelek v'hu mizono. If someone was eating only a cooked vegetable, but that's what he's eating for the meal, v'varech alav shalosh bracha. So again, he would bench afterwards. And the Gemara finishes, the Mishnah finishes, Ashel Samayim Litzama, if someone is drinking water because he's thirsty, Varach Shahakol Yabidvaro, he makes a Shahakol. And then this line here is very strange, Rav Tarfon Omer, Bari Nefashel Shravas Chesronon, that you make the Bracha Rishona, he holds, Rav Tarfon holds that the Bracha Rishona that someone drinks is going to be a Bari Nefashel, which again, obviously we don't paskin like that, but that's what he paskins. And the Gemara and the Mishnah says, if someone's drinking water because he's thirsty, because the halacha is that if you're drinking water, not because you're thirsty, but because you want to clear your throat, okay? You're drinking water because you're going to be taking pills that you're going to be swallowing. So you don't want to take them plain. You want to take water. You don't make a bracha in that situation. You make a bracha when you're thirsty. If you're not thirsty, you're not going to make a bracha on it. So that's what the Mishnah is telling us, that you only make a bracha if you're thirsty. If you're not thirsty and you're drinking for, again, some reason that you need to, then, if someone's choking, God forbid, he just wants to drink quickly to clear his throat, so you would not be making a bracha. Okay, the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Gamliel, what's the reason of Rabbi Gamliel who says that you bench after you make a bracha, after you eat one of the shivas aminim? There's three psukim that the Gemara is going to quote now. So Gemara says, "Dechsev eretz chita saora," that it's a land of wheat and barley. Uksiv, and then the next pasuk is uksiv eretz hashilov b'miskenos tochal b'alechem. It's a land that doesn't have any poverty in it. And then the last bracha is uksiv achalta v'savata v'rachta Hashem lokacha. That you should that again the pasuk that we learn out that a person's supposed to bench. So it says that bracha achalta v'savata v'rachta. So therefore you're supposed to bench, he holds, if you eat from the shivas aminim. Rabbanan, so why do the Rabbanan say that you don't bench and you only make a bracha achas mein shalosh? So Gemara says, Eretz Hifzik Inyan, that the second pasuk in the middle interrupts what we're talking about. So you don't say, you don't, in other words, there's one, two, and three psukim. So Rav Tarfon says that, Rav Gamliel says that you go one, two, and three, and three goes back on one. The Chachamim say that the middle pasuk is going to interrupt it, and you're not going to make a bracha, and it's going to tell you that you only make an ala gefen when you are eating fruit. You're not going to make you're not going to bench on it. So Gemara says, Rav Gamliel Nami. So according to Rav Gamliel, Eretz Hifzik Inyan. You have that second pasuk that's interrupting. So why do you say that? So why does he hold that you would bench then on the shivas aminim? It would seem that you have this second pasuk that's interrupting to tell you that you don't do it in that situation. The Gemara answer is, what does Rav Gamliel do with it? He uses it to tell you that if someone was chewing wheat, then in that situation you would not bench. The only time that he holds that you're going to bench is either if you eat from the shivas aminim, or if you eat. Again, like you eat wheat that's been baked, that's been processed and baked. In that situation, he says you're going to bench. But if you're going to chew on it, then he says you would not be benching in that situation. Amar Rav Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rav Chanina, Kalshu mechamesh hasiminim, anything that you have that's from the five types of grains that we have. Betchilim avarich ala barim, your name is Zonos, you make a Mizonos on at the beginning. Levasof, brach, achas, men shalosh, and you make an alamichya afterwards. Amarabba bar Mari, Amarabba Yeshua ben Levi. Kalshu meshiva saminim, if you have anything that's from one of the shiva saminim. Betchilim avarich bari priya eight. Levasof, brach, achas, men shalosh, and in the end you make a ala eight, which is what we do now. So the Gemara is going to talk about now what is this bracha al ha'eitz. So we've got three more minutes. Amalei Abayi L'Rav Dimi. Mainiyu bracha achas man shalosh. What is this bracha man shalosh? So again, like we have before, like we talked about, let's say Havineinu. Havineinu is where it takes, it's a compilation of taking all the brachas of Shmona Esrei, and it makes it into a shortened version. So the bracha achas man shalosh is the same thing. It's taking benching, and it's just making it into a shorter version that you would be making after you finish eating the food you ate. So Gemara says, Amalei, Perek de Eitz, if someone's eating something that's fruits, you say the following. Ala Eitz, Val Priya Eitz, we say that bless you Hashem, that gave us the trees and the fruits, Val Tenuvas Asad, and for the produce from the fields, Val Eretz Chem Natav Rechava, and you gave us the land that's very good, Shin Chatu Lavuseinu, again, so that's Lechom and Priya Vuzbam Matuva, which again is one of the brachos now of benching, that we're supposed to be getting good from it, Rachem Hashem Elkeinu Yisrael Amecha, which is the next bracha, that we say that you should have mercy on us, Val Yishalayim Yirecha, and on Yishalayim, Val Mitashech, and on the Beis HaMikdash, v'amiz v'chech, and on the Mizbeach, v'sivne Yushalayim, ir kachecha b'mher v'yemenu, which is the bracha of v'nei Yushalayim, that you should have, that you should rebuild Beis Yushalayim very quickly, v'samchenu ba, we should be, v'halenu socha, v'samchenu ba, ki ata tov meiti lakal, because you are good for everything. So that is the bracha, again, it's close, not exactly to what we do when we make an Ala Eitz. The Gemara's Lashon is a little bit different, but it's very similar to what we have when we do an Ala Eitz. Okay, we will stop here. I believe Rabbi Silber is giving tomorrow night again, but because of Sefer Chassidus, he'll send out what time we'll be doing this year.
Amazing story with the.